Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Paul Tanner to the podcast. Dr. Tanner serves as the Middle East Director for Biblical Education at Extension World. He travels frequently to various Middle Eastern countries to teach courses for Arab believers in Christ and is working to help start the Arab Center for Biblical Studies. Dr. Tanner, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Allen. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, I very much appreciate you making time for the conversation. Today, for our listeners, we'll be talking about preaching the book of Daniel. And we will be building that conversation really from a commentary you have that's coming out in print here in, I guess, in October. So depending upon when this podcast drops, it will either have just come out or is just about to come out. And so we look forward to visiting with you today about preaching the book of Daniel. Dr. Tanner, just for your own contextual awareness, my listeners tend to be, by and large, pastors, local church ministers, seminary students, and so those who are spending a lot of time either preparing to preach and teach the Word of God or actually preaching and teaching the Word of God. And so this conversation today is a part of a broader kind of series or category of podcasts we have on Preaching and Preachers, where I'm having guests on and talking with them about preaching different books in the Bible. So for our listeners, hopefully by this conversation, they will be encouraged to preach Daniel and better positioned to preach Daniel when they do. So with that, and before we get into really the meat of the conversation today, give our listeners a brief word of update on your ministry and perhaps what even prompted the writing of your commentary on Daniel.
Okay. Well, for security reasons, I'm a little bit limited in how much I can share about what I'm doing. As you already mentioned, I am the Middle East Director for B World, Biblical Education by Extension, and I travel back and forth to the Middle East, and I'm involved in training Christian leaders in various countries of the Middle East and the Arabic-speaking world. And as far as my family, my wife's is Linda. We've been married for over 46 years, and Linda is involved as a counselor at our local pregnancy resource center. And over the years, we've had the privilege of being missionaries in the Philippines, in Singapore, and in Amman, Jordan, in the Middle East, where we lived for 5 years. And yes, I love the book of Daniel. I would love to tell you for a few things about my involvement in that. I've long had an interest in the book of Daniel. I think from the time that I became a Christian way back in 1971, I was very fascinated by the uniqueness of its historical setting. This place called Babylon is kind of fascinating to me, and also the puzzling revelations that were given to Daniel. It's a very interesting book, very different from other books of the Old Testament, especially in the sense that half of it's written in Aramaic. And in my PhD studies, I took Aramaic as a second language requirement, and that gave me the chance to carefully study through the Aramaic chapters of Daniel, which would be chapters 2-7. When the Evangelical Exegetical Commentary series was announced, the work on Daniel was originally assigned to a very close friend of mine, Dr. Randall Price at Liberty University. And I have to confess, I was a little bit envious because I would love to have had that assignment myself, but I was happy for him. And then something wonderful happened. Dr. Price felt he needed to withdraw from the project because of too many other commitments that he had. And without my even saying a word, he had recommended me to the editorial team as his replacement. And naturally, I was delighted to accept that when the offer was made to me.
Well, very good. Well, listen, we appreciate you taking the time for the conversation, and I love your dual commitments, vocationally, ministerially, clearly overseas ministry / missions work, but also training pastors and ministers overseas, so there's theological education going on. And then you have a writing ministry, and you've produced a commentary on Daniel that is substantial, and it's already being well reviewed. So let's get to that, the book of Daniel, that is. Give us a sense as to just the broad lay of the land of the book of Daniel, and not just from a technical sense, the lay of the land, but why pastors, why ministers should give it a close look and should consider including it into their preaching ministry.
Okay. Well, let's just first the lay of the land then. The book unfolds in three parts. Chapter one introduces to Daniel and how he was taken as a young man whenever the Babylonians took control of Jerusalem in 605 BC. And it goes on to tell how he rose to prominence in the king's court. A very unusual story that this young Jewish person in a very Gentile country of the Middle East, you know, became what he was. Then chapters 2-7 are the part that's all in Aramaic, and they give us several court tales, we call them, of how the nation fared during that time of exile in Babylon. And they reveal how God would deal with the nation of Israel as they were to remain under Gentile dominance, actually until God's ready to establish the kingdom of God under Messiah's rule. And chapter 7 is a little bit unique to the book. It seems to be a hinge chapter because, on the one hand, it's the final chapter in Aramaic, but yet on the other hand, it's the first of a series of visions giving directly to Daniel. Prior revelation was him interpreting dreams for certain kings, but now, starting with chapter 7, there's a series of four visions giving to Daniel. And they're primarily all have to do with Israel's future prior to the kingdom of God, namely how she's going to suffer under the rule of the Antichrist in the distant future. Yet in the near term, she's also going to suffer earlier under a second century BC ruler, a Syrian ruler named Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes. And he serves in the book of Daniel as a type of the Antichrist. So that is a broad overview of the book, just to kind of get the scope of it.
Yeah, but before I get to that, now I'll kind of re-ask and reframe that question. But just even for our listeners, and as we come to your commentary, do you approach the book of Daniel from a pre-tribulational, pre-millennial standpoint, as far as how you approach scripture, as you know, a classic dispensationalist, or what's your basic kind of overview of approach to the book of Daniel?
Okay. That's a great question. Without apology, I approach it from a very conservative, evangelical, premillennial position. So mildly dispensational, I guess, would be a way of saying it, because I do believe that God has a future for Israel.
Right.
And the book of Daniel, you know, bears that out. So that's, in general, that's my commitment to it. But I would say that I want to be very clear that in writing the commentary, I don't try to be overbearing on that. And in preparation for writing the commentary, I've read hundreds of journal articles by the leading scholars, you know, of our times, most of whom aren't even Adventist at all. Sometimes there's insights I can pick up from them. Sometimes it may be linguistic or historical. And you have to do a little bit of, you know, sorting the wheat from the chaff as you do so. But I try to be fair, and I try to point out good points from other perspectives, and even acknowledge, you know, other points of view along the way.
No, that's helpful clarification just for our listeners to know how you approach the book. And again, certainly not out of bounds there. In fact, perhaps most of our listeners approach it similar to how you handle it. Let me ask kind of re-ask the question I posed earlier. As far as just the book, I mean, talk to our listeners about like why they should consider preaching through the book of Daniel.
I think one thing that would be very important here is that prophecy is certainly a major part of Scripture. If you think about the book of Revelation, a lot of people are excited about the whole preaching or teaching from the book of Revelation. I would tell a person, don't go to those waters before you first carefully work through the book of Daniel, because so much of the book of Revelation already assumes that the reader has a very good understanding of important passages from the Old Testament, the main one being Daniel. And of course, other things as well. There's Jeremiah and Ezekiel too, but Daniel above all others. So that would be one thing I think that's be real important to consider as you think about preaching it and about the role that it plays in Scripture in that regard. But I wrote a little booklet for just my own students before, and I think part of the title of it was, you know, Daniel, a man of integrity and of, you know, prophetic wisdom. So I think the study of Daniel's own character and integrity and reliance upon God and his perseverance in prayer and trusting God and having to work with Gentile rulers and doing so graciously, but yet holding fast to the, you know, the truth. And there's so many great lessons along that way. It's not just about, you know, prophetic insights of the future.
Right. So I guess, and again, I was still kind of moving around the preachability of the book, that question. I guess for some pastors, the prophets, major or minor to them, it just looks daunting to even like undertake, whether it's the length of the book or just the interpretive difficulties that they perceive in the book. Again, to talk our listeners into tackling the book of Daniel as far as it actually being a manageable project.
Well, it is taking on a bit of a challenge there. So if I were to kind of think through several of the main challenges to preaching the book, I'd say, first of all, the book assumes that Israel has a special place and purpose in God's plan of history. But a great many Christians today don't recognize that. So they may be of a different persuasion. Israel is a little bit controversial today, I guess, just as it has been for many years. I know from my own teaching, you know, overseas, that a great many Christians outside of the U.S. Don't really realize, you know, the important role that Israel has and will have, you know, in the future. God is going to fulfill his promises with Israel. Some assume that the church is simply, you know, replaced Israel and there is no more for a future. So certainly that's a challenge, you know, preaching in the book that you need to understand that aspect. A second one, an accurate interpretation of the book's extensive symbolism is challenging. And then being able to substantiate that for a listening audience. I mean, anybody can get up and say, well, this means this and this means that, but you need to be able to help an audience today understand, well, why do you say that? You know, on what basis can you say that? And it's important, you know, for a listening audience to realize that, you know, you're not just making something up, but having good reasons behind it. A third reason, many Christians today they're familiar with the exciting stories of Daniel. There's his survival in the lion's den, about the miraculous deliverance of the three friends in the furnace. But not everyone today is ready to just take at face value the supernatural, that this really happened in defiance of what we think of as science and reality. So the question is, can enlightened people today believe this? Well, it's not much different than believing, you know, Jonah's survival in a large fish or even the resurrection for that matter. But, you know, we sometimes, maybe for those of us who have been Christians for a while, you know, we may assume that the supernatural, yeah, sure, why not? But maybe for a lot of people, especially coming up in educational system today, they may not be quite ready, you know, just to buy into that. So you need to be thinking about them, aware of that, and helping them to embrace a supernatural worldview. Also, I think the Antichrist theme is very pervasive in the book. And many preachers may find it challenging to convince modern-day readers that such a person as described like that is really going to arise in the latter days, who will oppress Israel and attempt to rule the world. So once again, I think the issue of the believability of the Bible. I think as a preacher, you know, comes to his audience and has to try to put himself, you know, a little bit in their shoes and what their worldview perspective might be, so he can not just assume that they're going to have the same presuppositions, you know, that he does, and try to help bridge that as best as possible.
So when you think about the book of Daniel, and you've touched on some of these, I think, but again, many of our listeners may think of challenges, like difficult passages. What mm-hmm. might be some of the main challenges when preaching the book?
That's a little bit about what I just commented on. But I think there's also some other features of the book that that need to be addressed when you're preparing to preach it. I would say, there's no other book in the Bible that's come under attack from skeptics, as has been the book of Daniel. There are numerous historical details that are challenged. Even the whole idea that a young Jewish man would rise up to have such an authoritative position and would rule under a Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, then later under Darius and Cyrus. Here we have, just as an example, I mean, the whole idea that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, kind of lost his sanity and became something of a beast of the field for a while until God's discipline, you know, over him had passed. There's no historical record of such a thing happening. And that's greatly questioned by the book. On the other hand, what we have to point out is that a lot of the historical records we have, and we do have historical records for things like the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, there's a great gap where of missing documents. Of course, those would have been on clay tablets. But we're missing much of that period, too. So just the fact that we don't have it doesn't really prove anything of itself. I think a second area that comes to my mind is the messianic identification in the book. For instance, chapter 7 mentions someone called one like a son of man who's given glory, dominion, and a kingdom. And the question is, who or what is this? Some think it refers to angelic band. Some think that it's Israel itself. And I wrote an article for a publication that Moody Press did, a handbook on messianic prophecy, just on this very interpretive matter of one like a son of man. And I do take the position that it's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But that's not everyone, you know, takes that position. And then you have Daniel 9, 24 through 27, a very famous passage. We call it the Daniel 70 weeks passage. We have reference to an anointed one. And is this one the Messiah? Some translations will translate it anointed one. Some others will call it Messiah. And that's not all accepted. I even know of certain professors at my alma mater who don't take it in a messianic way. So that's a challenging passage in itself. And I do take the messianic interpretation myself. But then again, on the 70 weeks prophecy, what's the correct way to handle the chronological outworking of the prophecy? All kinds of suggestions have been made as to how this unfolds and what it means. Most everyone that I've read, and very few exceptions, would understand a week to mean not week as we think of it, but as a period of seven, and in the context of 7 years. So we have 70 7-year periods. And but, you know, when does that start? When does that end? Is there a gap anywhere, you know, in the outworking of it? Those are all issues that are very complex, and which the person who's either going to be preaching or teaching on the book of Daniel is going to need to spend a lot of time trying to understand, you know, all the details that are involved in coming to a good conclusion, you know, about that.
So let me ask you just a couple of other questions here. The next would be, what are some of the key doctrines taught in the book of Daniel that preachers should be looking for?
I say, first of all, that God's true to his word in bringing discipline upon Israel for their unfaithfulness to the Mosaic law. So they were a covenant people of God. And in the book of Deuteronomy, he lays out very clearly, after having given them the Mosaic legislation, what we call the law, the Mosaic law, he lays out what the blessings will be for obedience. And he lays out what the curses or the discipline is going to be if they're unfaithful, you know, to God's covenant law. And so by the time we get to Daniel, you know, it's 6th century BC, they've been unfaithful for quite some time. The northern kingdom, much before this, had already gone into exile. And now we're left with just the southern kingdom. They're going to be facing God's discipline, and he is true to his word about it. Secondly, I think we can say that God is always sovereign over the nations of the world. even when he allows Israel to be disciplined by them. So he allows his covenant people to be disciplined by a foreign power, but yet he remains sovereign over that, and he doesn't, whatever that other Gentile power, you know, may do, they can only do what God allows to do, and God makes it very clear that they are subject to him. That's a beautiful thing, you know, like something like Daniel chapter 2, that he's going to allow this series of empires, world empires, to transpire, but eventually history is going to come, you know, it'll always be under his direction. It'll be going to the goal that he wants it to go, which is the kingdom of God. A third one would be the faithfulness of God to his covenant promises. So even though he disciplines Israel, he's still faithful, you know, to them, and he will not give up on them, you know, in the process. He's going to remain faithful to them, just as he remains faithful to us as individual believers, no matter whether we're obedient or disobedient. And fourthly, is just the whole doctrine about the ultimate victory of God through the kingdom that's given to the Messiah. And that certainly sets the stage, you know, for Jesus and his coming and his implementation of the new covenant. So those would be some of the key doctrines, certainly not the only ones, but I would see those being some of the primary ones.
When we think of preaching the book of Daniel and we think of preaching Christ from the book of Daniel, help us think through briefly how we can do that faithfully.
Okay, there's several passages where I think a messianic interpretation comes out. So this is where we want to preach Christ. I've already mentioned once, like in Daniel 7, we have one like a son of man. It says that he comes up to the Ancient of Days, and to him is given glory, dominion, and a kingdom. Now, if that's messianic, and I do believe it is, then, you know, that's a huge passage of a, you know, immense importance, you know, in regard to our New Testament, you know, interpretation and our understanding of the kingdom of God. Also being the anointed one of the Messiah in Daniel 9, 25 and 26. I think there's others. For myself, I see that there's a figure, a person, let's say, that's dressed in linen that appears to Daniel in chapter 10. I'm thinking specifically of Daniel 10, 4 through 9. And I believe, not all do, but I do believe that that's actually the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have, who's the fourth figure in the furnace in Daniel 3, 24 to the 27? That might be also a what we call a Christophany, appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And another one would be the stone which strikes the great statue in Daniel 2, 34 and 35, which goes on to become a great kingdom. So I'd say there's a lot of potential reference to Christ in the book of Daniel. One little illustration I might give about this, back in the time when I lived in Amman, Jordan, I was asked to, we had a lot of Iraqi refugees in the country, and many of them had become believers in Christ. In fact, we even had some Iraqi church services for those Iraqi Christians, and I was asked one night to go and preach, and I ended up preaching on Daniel 9, 24 through 27. But one of the things that I try to emphasize in that, it talks in Daniel 9, 26 about the Messiah or the anointed one being cut off and has nothing. And I was able to go from that to explaining the gospel, because being cut off means has to do with his being put to death. I think that's the correct interpretation, you know, that passage. And I had actually brought a young Muslim man with me who was from Iraq to the service. He was befriended, and even though he wasn't a believer, he was there that night to participate in or to observe this Iraqi service, and he got to hear the gospel in that way. So not only can we preach Christ being victorious ultimately through his kingdom, but there's reference, of course, to his crucifixion, his suffering for our sin.
Well, Dr. Tanner, you have very helpfully walked us through the book of Daniel and how we might more faithfully preach it. And you have given key words of encouragement to preach it. And so I want to thank you for your new commentary out again. It's a commentary on the Book of Daniel and the Evangelical Exegetical Commentary Series out with Lexham. And we trust it'll get a wide usership in churches, and it'll radiate, at least indirectly, from the pulpit of many churches as well as the Book of Daniel is preached. Thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to have been with you today.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.